So we are continuing a sermon series that we started for Epiphany called Can You Hear Me Now? Learning to Hear from God for Ourselves. And the series was born from a recognition that following Jesus can feel a bit like a moving target, particularly during the challenging times that we find ourselves in. And so it's critical for us to develop this capacity to learn to hear from God for ourselves. And so over these 7 weeks of Epiphany, we're looking at how God proclaims to the world love and grace and mercy and truth through the life of Jesus, and how we can hear that from God ourselves. Now, most of us tend to identify ourselves by the roles that we play in the world. So if someone goes up to you and asks you to tell them about you, the tempting place to start is to tell them about your job, or to tell them about your family, or to tell them about your marriage, your kids, your faith background, your volunteer activities. What we do reveals a lot about who we are. And usually there are threads of giftedness that run through the roles that we play. Like, there are a lot of people who maybe do the job that you've had in your life, but there were certain ways that you approached that job that was unique to you. And that approach is consistent throughout the various roles that you play in life. Whether you realize it or not, you likely show up in a marriage or in parenting or in relationships or in church participation in very similar ways that align with your giftedness, with how God made you. For example, there are a lot of people who are pastors. But there is a way that I approach being a pastor that is unique to me and is consistent in the ways that I show up as a husband and a father and a friend in the coaching and consulting work that I do on the side. It's how God's wired me. I can't be any different. I don't want to be any different because it's how God made me to be. I'm all about doing the deeper work and getting to the core of somebody's identity, to the root of the problem, helping people to decide for themselves how they get from where they are to where God's calling them to be. I do that everywhere in my life. It's just how I've functioned intuitively. And what's happening is that God is working through me in ways that I was previously unaware of. That how I function intuitively, and when I became aware of that functioning, I was then able to begin doing it with intentionality in a way that partners with God in what God was already doing through me. And in that partnership, a relationship is established where I can hear and I'm able to hear from God for myself. Does that make sense? Do we see how that works? So we have this giftedness that we just sort of do. We just do it intuitively. We aren't even aware that it's happening. And then as we grow in that awareness, as we see how God is working through us, through our giftedness, we can partner with God in that way, and we learn to hear from God in that partnership, in that relationship. My gifts make a place for me. And I hear from God as I use my gifts. Now, we are all very different people. We all function differently in the world. Some of you are very task-oriented, and others are very people-oriented. Some of you who are fixers, who are always looking for a problem to solve, and it gets you into trouble when the problem you're trying to solve is your spouse, or your friend, or your parents, or your kids. Like, guilty as charged. Some of you prefer to work behind the scenes. Others like to be out front. Some of you like routine and established process. Some of you are proactive. Some of you like to see how things play out before you dive in. It's as natural as breathing. And you can't do it any other way. And you shouldn't try to do it any other way because it's how God wired you. It's how you've been gifted. There's great diversity in how we function. No one better than the other. What's important is self-awareness. Understanding how we function intuitively so that we can do it with intentionality in a way that partners with God and strengthens the relationship we have with God, which then allows us to hear from God for ourselves. Our gifts make a place for us, and we can hear from God as we use our gifts. It's one of the ways that we can learn to hear from God for ourselves. Now, last week we talked about issues of confidence, that we aren't sure that we can hear from God for ourselves, and we aren't confident in our ability to do that, and how that lack of confidence that we possess prevents us from really being able to hear from God. It's the factor in determining if we'll actually hear from God or not. It's confidence. It isn't theological training. It isn't purity of behavior. And I think a lot of us lack confidence in the intuitive ways that we function in the world, in the impact that those ways make. We lack confidence in the fact that you and I are already making an impact. You and I are already having God work through us for the glory of God and the good of others. Now, that may seem strange. You may not be aware of it's happening. You may not believe that it's happening. That's a lack of confidence. The good news that we need to hear and believe this morning is that our gifts make a place for us in the world, and we can hear from God as we use those gifts, whatever they are, because they've been given to us by God. So it makes sense that God would show up in those gifts and in the exercise of those gifts in a way that we're able to hear from God for ourselves. Our reading from 1 Corinthians this morning, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Corinthian church about the use of gifts in the church. Now, churches in Paul's day operated a little bit differently than churches in 21st century America and how many understand church today. Church in Paul's day wasn't just about an hour on Sunday. Early Christians gathered throughout the week for worship and prayer and teaching and meals and generosity. The church was not an association to belong to. They didn't keep track of like membership roles and giving and all those things. The church was a lifestyle. It was a way of being. It was a practice of life. And when the church gathered, it didn't center around the performance of leadership of a talented and educated few. Everyone had the ability to share the gift that they had to offer whenever the Spirit led them to do so. And what Paul wanted to be sure that those receiving this letter understood is that faith in Jesus as Lord, Jesus as Savior, Jesus as Messiah, as God in the flesh who went to the cross and died and rose is impossible without the presence of the Holy Spirit in one's life. It's not possible. He says in verse 3, "Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, 'Let Jesus be cursed.' And no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit." This is really important to understand, because there's this idea in the church, and we touched on it last week, that there's like different levels of Jesus followers, okay? That there are some who are super gifted and super blessed, and they become pastors or worship leaders or organists or council presidents or group leaders. And then you've got kind of the middle of the road folks, okay? They're like halfway there. And they serve on a committee or something, and they're a greeter on Sunday, or they go work at the food pantry or whatever. And then there's everybody else. They come to church on Sunday, but you know, they just don't have much to offer because they're like bottom of the barrel. And Paul would say, that's ridiculous. That's not true. There are no levels of believers. There are no levels of followers of Christ. There's nobody who's been endowed with more of the Spirit than anybody else. If you profess Jesus as Lord, it's because you have the Holy Spirit in full measure. Everything that you need to do what God has gifted you to do and called you to do, you already have. You have that measure of the Spirit. There's no levels. It's like you can't say you're a little bit pregnant, right? Or like a little bit married. Or a little bit retired. Although the people that are I know who are retired would say they're more busy in retirement than they were in their careers. But look, you either are or you aren't. You either have the Spirit or you don't. And if you have the Holy Spirit, which if you profess Jesus as Lord, you do, then you have gifts and abilities and ways to serve. There is diversity and difference within the church. Paul says it this way in verse 4. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but the same God who activates all of them in everyone. And that variety is dependent upon how God has wired you, how you show up intuitively in the world. Those gifts make a place for you, and you can hear from God for yourself as you use those gifts. And something that we get wrong about our gifts is that they're primarily for our benefit, that we primarily reap the rewards for however God has given us. Becoming intentional about how you show up in the world, being the best version of yourself, that absolutely benefits you, for sure. It's better to be the best version of yourself than some lesser version of someone else. But it isn't primarily for your benefit. Paul says in verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Whether it's in the gifts that Paul names or the ones that we see in ourselves, whether it's wisdom, knowledge, faith, miracles, healing, or whether it's other gifts like being artistic or musical or analytical, being good with numbers, being a leader, being a speaker, being a listener. The reason that God gave you those gifts is for the common good. We are blessed with these gifts so that we would be a blessing. We have this amazing story in the Gospels. It's a familiar story of Jesus turning water into wine. And something that we don't really know what to do with, and pastors do their best to theologize why this is, but nobody really knows. Why Jesus didn't want to do it? Like, why did he resist turning the water into wine? At the wedding banquet, when the wine was running out, which would have been a great embarrassment to the family of the groom, Jesus says it wasn't his time yet. And nobody really knows why he said that. But perhaps in that moment, when he uttered those words and his mom said, whatever, just he'll do it. Mama always knows, right? Perhaps in that moment, he realized that the exercise of this gift wasn't about him, but about blessing the family of the groom. And how grateful must that family have been? And how blessed must Jesus have felt with the intentionality, the thing that was intuitive for him to do? He did it with intentionality to be a miracle worker, to show grace and mercy in unexpected ways, to be a blessing, and that gift made a place for him in the world. John says his glory was revealed and his disciples believed in him. And so even though it wasn't the time that he would have chosen for him to reveal his gift, that revelation of Jesus as miracle worker made a place for him as God was given glory and his disciples believed. When you and I show up in the role we play with intentionality, using our gifts to partner with God for the common good, as our gifts make a place for us and as God's will for our lives begins to unfold, that is a way in which we begin to hear from God for ourselves. For me, discovering my gifts and the way it intuitively showed up in the world, it took time. It took reflection. Like if you're just waiting for God to drop that in your lap so you don't have to do any work to discover it, that's just not how it's going to work. We have to dig in, reflect, have conversations with others. It took feedback from those closest to me. It took discernment and prayer, trial and error. I tried things out. They didn't work. I tried something else. I actually went through a process of looking at the events of my life, the joyful and celebratory events, the draining and disappointing events, the painful and even traumatic events, and the day-to-day ways in which I made meaning of my life and understood. And it was a difficult process. It wasn't comfortable. God's not particularly concerned with us being comfortable. But doing so really gave me clarity about how I show up in life with intentionality and partnership with God. And in that partnership, being able to hear from God for myself. It's what the church has referred to historically as spiritual formation. It's a process that we're going to be looking to implement over the coming year here through our group life and through other ways, taking time to discern who is it that we really are in Christ. And I'm convinced that spiritual formation is critical to growing, thriving faith. So just to whet our appetite for that a little bit, here's a question that I want you to think about as we close. What are my gifts, and how can I use them for the common good? These gifts are to be discovered as you consider how you show up in the world intuitively and partner with God to show up intentionally. Your gifts will make a place for you, and you will hear from God for yourself as you use those gifts, and the world will be blessed because you are being a blessing.